Here we go. Here we go. Thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. And one more little favor, could you please rate and review the show? We've got all of us, we have stress fractures in all of our legs. Please take pity on us. I'm Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
Yeah, that means our listeners have to do something for us for a change. That's right, Cody. I'm Harry Mack, and you can find and do things for me on Twitter, at Shiitake Harry.
And I'm Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
Pardon the ice machine that dropped ice just as somebody was talking. I see the waveforms in the thing, so I know that they try, and that's reflective of us getting ice cold on this episode towards our listeners, which is certainly not how we want it to be, especially with Jason Daphnis on the pipes. He's our former bully that we eventually came to terms with, and he is now our super producer. You can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. You can also keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at StoopKidsPod. Man, I've been doing this for... Listen, man, I've been in this game a long time. I'm not in it for a record, I'll tell you that. I'm not in it for a ring. That's when people get hurt. If we don't win the last game of the series, they'll dismiss us. I know these guys. I know the way they think, and they will erase us. And everything we've done here, none of it will matter. Any other team wins the World Series, good for them. They're drinking champagne, they get a ring. But if we win, on our budget, with this team, we'll have changed the game. And that's what I want. I want kids to be spelled with a Z. Today we're here to talk about episode 84 of Hey Arnold. For those of you keeping track at home, that is season 5, episode 4, going by production code order. We're going to start, as we always do, with episode A, which is called New Bully on the Block. Original air date, April 12th, 2000. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. The kids must face two older bullies when a new kid, Ludwig, returns from some time in juvenile hall and challenges Wolfgang for the vacant lot. And a special Wikipedia note here, Ludwig is voiced by Arnold's second voice actor, Philip Van Dyke. So shoutouts to Mr. Van Dyke, and shoutouts to the other folks who made this episode possible. We've got Frank Weiss in the director's chair for this one, and the lone writing credit, see here in my notes, goes to one Craig Bartlett. Maybe you've heard of him. And maybe you've heard of Emily. She's great. She's going to give her takes about this episode first. Emily, what did you think about New Bully on the Block?
Hey, Cody. I thought this episode was all right. I was a little bit bored watching it, but I don't know. We've just seen so many Hey Arnold episodes. I don't think this one is anything like super duper special, but we're kind of in just a sports episode with two bullies going at it. And yeah, a lot of backyard sports vibes, of course, as well. I think Ludwig, who just got out of juvie, and he apparently used to own this vacant lot, which is, as we know, Gerald Field. But he's telling the kids in the beginning of it that actually it's his field and his vacant lot. So, yeah, there's a bit of a power struggle between him and Wolfgang at first. And then they're coaching the kids' teams. They're playing football here at Gerald Field in this episode. And Ludwig and Wolfgang turn this rivalry later into an affectionate bromance, friendship. So that's pretty cute. It's nice to see overly masculine characters realizing that it's okay to be affectionate. And the whole ending where they're going, "Nah, you rock, man. Nah, seriously, dude, you're that good. Nah, bro, dude. So I guess another dudes episode in season 5, kind of. But also, I just noticed a lot of like repeated animation in this one. So this one maybe went through the ringer a little bit fast, but we saw those reused Tuck Tucker red, yellow, blue stars animation like 3 separate times in this episode. It's a great animated shot and transition, but they just kept using it, and we've seen it before a couple seasons ago, so I was like just making a note of it that there was a few moments like that that were repeated maybe for time in the studio. And otherwise, I liked the city background shots quite a bit in this, as I usually do, but we've seen the classic like blue sky background where it's the really great overview shot of Hillwood with the overpass, but there was another separate shot with the bridge that looked really cool, and then a clock tower by the skyscrapers later in the episode. And then Curly, the weird little freak, as they call him in this episode, was running down in towards the skyscrapers at one point later in the ep. But yeah, I guess I don't have a whole lot of other thoughts on it. I think just kind of funny to see Ludwig and Wolfgang bromancing it up. And Sunset was very beautiful too at the end as far as backgrounds go, with the football sailing over the field goal post. But I don't have, I guess, many other notes on character moments or anything or the game itself. I was tuning in and out of it a little bit, I guess, on this episode. But yeah, dude. What do you dudes think about it?
I think the dude is also great because it invokes a cinematic classic, Dude, Where's My Car? That's immediately what I thought of, the like the them looking at their tattoos. Dude, what does mine say? Sweet, what does mine say? That was just like them, Ludwig and Wolfgang saying dude. Inevitably, one stole from the other. Only one can survive. Whoever wins, we lose, which is kind of the theme of this episode, right, Harry? What'd you think of this one?
More like, dude, where's my vacant lot? That's an interesting take, Emily. I think I agree with you, although I think I enjoyed this episode more than it sounds like you did. I guess because I saw it was written by Craig Bartlett, I was really processing it through that lens. And that was, beneficial for me, I guess. I really love to read Craig Bartlett episodes as like not necessarily correctives, but sort of like return to forms. So maybe that's why the fact that this episode is like a little bit stale in terms of like its plotting and theming, it still kind of worked for me. I love, for instance, that it's sort of a return to form, right? Like we get to go back to the vacant lot. We're playing sports again. We're sort of like in the internecine conflicts of the grades again. There are no adults in this episode, which I kind of like. That's kind of a first for a while, if I remember correctly. You shouted out the like beautiful oranges and purples in this episode. I think that like it has an unusual color palette that I really like. It's funny that you brought up that a lot of animation was reused, because I was thinking about how dynamic the animation was in this episode. So maybe they needed more time to do the football scenes or something, but I actually really enjoyed watching the football scenes, maybe just because I'm a dude. I think my favorite part about this episode is just the fact that like I really love that Craig Bartlett in a lot of his episodes is sort of like nicely poking fun, or sort of like belovedly poking fun at Arnold and the sort of like shortcomings of his approach to literally all conflicts, where he needs to become involved. He needs to step his foot in the middle and like do what in his mind is just and right. And because he's such a good guy, it is what's right, right? It's the right thing to do almost invariably. But as episodes like this show, that doesn't always mean that the consequences are what he wants them to be, right? So I really love this sort of like power check of Arnold. And I love that all of his friends really like rib him about it, right? Like Helga was right on the money from day one in this case, right? Where she was like, Arnold, like getting involved with these two dudes is not going to accomplish anything that you think it's going to accomplish. And in fact, he does accomplish something kind of beautiful. Like Emily pointed out, he makes Ludwig and Wolfgang friends against all odds, right? It just so happens that when they're friends, like you had said, it's like the Predator and the Alien teaming up, Cody. And so they end up hanging from the vacant lot in the middle of the night with no hope as to what's going to happen next, except that they have to count on Arnold to come up with yet another cockamamie plan. So I liked it. I think that I agree with Emily. It's like pretty standard, right? Like, I don't think this shakes up the formula much, and we've seen it before. But I just had fun with it, I guess, and I thought it was really funny to, like, return to Wolfgang and Ludwig and to sort of, like poke fun at Arnold a little bit, you know, just to sort of like remind us that part of the idea of this show is also that you're not always going to be able to accomplish what you want to accomplish, even if it's the right thing to do and even if you go about it the right way, right? I think that's a pretty important takeaway for disenfranchised fourth graders, right? It's like, turns out the bigger kids are just not going to listen to you sometimes, and there's not a whole lot you can do about it. But what did you think about this one, Cody? Did you love it because it was a sports ep, or do you come down closer to Emily?
Well, see, it's tough because on one hand, it is a sports episode. On the other hand, it is football, which is not a sport that I typically gravitate toward. But this is not the first like semi-football centric episode of
Second or third. I think it might be like one of the
Yeah, but it totally feels like invoking, you know, backyard sports. I did like a third of this episode is almost not literally, but like very similar to just like watching the like the console, the sim of backyard football, just like play out a game between two teams, which rules. Like that's not a condemnation. That's awesome. And seeing these characters that we're very familiar with animated in that way where they're in motion and competing, doing something like playing football, is genuinely a lot of fun to watch. I consciously was not really aware of what the art, in this and the color palette in this episode was doing, but, that's a great point from Emily. I think particularly setting the, kind of the stage or the timeline of the episode being like, we're going to play until the sun goes down really does a lot of, funky things with just like you know, we're paying more attention to the lighting, the colors, again, not necessarily consciously, but subconsciously. And so you just by inserting that into the story, you get the capacity to like showcase some like different ways of like lighting and coloring scenes, which was really cool. Made me nostalgic for the days when I could just like pal around with my friends outside until like the sun goes down and then I had to go home. So that was really sweet. And I think the return to form, that was mentioned, I definitely felt that with this episode, not necessarily to a fault, but almost, like we're kind of getting there because some things at this point feel almost inevitable, you know, like Arnold getting in between these two bullies, like the writing is on the wall, him being like, oh, we can just ask them to share the field. That's an all time bad idea for Arnold. It's like season one Arnold and then some, like it's just an awful idea. He should know better by now. The return to formism of this episode notwithstanding, I suppose. It's tough on that front. It gets us to I think the place we need to go, because you know we know by the end of it that like it's not going to be a situation where one bully comes out over the other. We don't really have that mileage with Wolfgang to like have that happen. It's like, well, they're gonna like compromise because it's Arnold and there's always going to be a compromise somewhere. So again, like not necessarily a bad thing, it's just there are certain inevitabilities we can count on just because of our personal bandwidth with the show and just like the mileage of the show itself up to this point, with this being episode 84. You know certain things are going to happen, but that didn't really take away from my enjoyment. It's not you know, not one of the greatest episodes, certainly far from being one of the worst. Craig's got the pen in his hand, so it's a high floor situation, but it would have been a notch higher if it were baseball or basketball or tennis, but we got football, and you know what, it's just how it is.
I would especially like a baseball episode. That sounds great. We wouldn't even have to involve Mickey Kaline, but hey, I'm not going to complain if we did something like that. Writers, now that this show has been off the air for many years. One thing you mentioned that actually does work for me. I really love the like slow, almost like winking descent into inevitability, forwarded by the third act of this episode in particular, where like, I love that they keep cutting away to Arnold, Wolfgang and Ludwig like palling around, and then Arnold watches it, and you can see the gears turning in his head, and you just know he's coming up with the wrong equation to like the wrong solution to this problem. It's like, Arnold, like, I know what you're gonna do. I know that it's the right thing to do. I know that it's the kind thing to do, and like, remember that you are a part of this equation. Like, where does that leave you, my guy? Like, he's like, he goes up to Helga and he's like, look, they're like becoming friends, so like, maybe we can, if we tie this, then we'll, and like, you can almost see the like dot 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 question mark and then profit. It's like, if they tie, then what, Arnold? Then what? And like, then exactly what everybody told Arnold was going to happen is going to happen. But I do really love that then it cuts away to Helga, and like, even when she knows exactly what's going to happen to them, even when she knows it's all going to be futile and Arnold's meddling is only going to make things worse for them, that's still a big part of why she loves him. I think that's really cute. And I even loved that, like, at the end, like, it shows that Arnold is undeterred, right? Like he's not deluded. He knows he took the L, but he says, like, I'll tell you what plan B is as soon as I think of it, right? It's like, hey, sometimes, like, there's not an actionable lesson, right? Like, there was a lesson here, but that's different from an actionable lesson, right? It's like, I think that Arnold genuinely would have done it all the exact same way again, because I don't think he can help but do that. And I think that this episode is sort of like, and that's okay. You know, like, sometimes you just got to be who you are, and it's going to turn out that who you are is exactly the wrong person to be at that time. But that doesn't mean that it's wrong for you to be that way, period. So I kind of like that about this. I think it's a very, like, hey, Arnold message. I think it's a unique utilization of Arnold as a character in an episode that isn't very unique, if that makes sense. So I think it just does it for me. But that being said, I still don't totally disagree. I think it's basically mid, like you had said, Cody, in more and better words than that. But it's a mid episode of Hey Arnold.
Yeah, mid Arnold. Coming soon to a podcast feed. That sounds dreadful. I guess I am sort of curious, because we're talking about all the ways in which this does feel like a, not like a regression necessarily, but there are some beats that feel like they are from a previous season of the show. And there were like very kind of blink and you miss it sort of, I guess you can call them jokes. Like, I don't know. I need help wrestling with them, because I'm probably just overthinking them. But when Arnold is setting up the actual like get together between the two bullies, and he tells each of them separately, it's just like, hey, the other guy gave up, come and claim the field at, you know, a little after four, you know, after school or whatever. And you know, Wolfgang has the offhanded, like, oh, I've got oboe lessons till four. And Ludwig says, I've got tap dancing lessons after school. And it is just like, it's I don't know. And again, I could very easily just be like putting too much into this, but those lines don't necessarily feel like something that would be from like earlier seasons of the show. These bullies would be built up to be menacing, because these dudes already look like they're 38 years old, that they should not be in grade school. But they're not, because they are so just like, they just say them, they're not necessarily played for laughs. We're almost past that. I don't know if that hits y'all in a particular way, but it does ingrain that sort of flavor, I feel like, ingrains this episode into like a later season of the show, because, you know, Craig put those in, and just like, I'm more focused in like telling sort of a more straightforward story with these kids with no adults, and just that we're going to put these lines in because like that's, we've seen some episodes with that where it's clear that just like, oh, we want to put these lines in because we haven't really been able to up to this point, because we've been treating them as kids. Now we're kind of, you know, aging up the dialogue just a little bit, or just like making more mature references to otherworldly things. I don't know if y'all have thoughts about that, but it is like, I think a specific flavor of this episode that is maybe worth calling out, because it's in my mind kind of one of the few things that really separates this from like, you know, an earlier episode of the show that is similar to this one, if that makes sense, Harry.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think it's pretty decent foreshadowing, right? Like, I think that the bromance that Emily alluded to is foreshadowed really well throughout this episode, in the sense that, like, Ludwig and Wolfgang, right down to their names, are, like, kind of soulmates, right? Like, they're exactly like each other. They keep getting into these fights that are, like, I mean, it's not... They just can't wait to see each other every day so that they can storm into the vacant lot and start fighting and pushing each other around, to the point where, like, the entire second act of this episode is just the kids, like, commenting on it. It's like, wow, what a great use of our vacant lot. They're just going to go in there and wrestle with each other all day, every day. So that was kind of funny. I was surprised that there's not even, like, a Jim Lang, like, drum roll or like cymbal crash at that point when those jokes were there. I kind of like it as like a sort of like allusion to the fact that these characters, Wolfgang and Ludwig, are maybe like more three-dimensional than we're giving them credit for. It's just that because it's Arnold and the gang, we'll never see them as that. And we never do see them as that in the show. And I think that in its own way, that kind of foreshadows the ending too, right? Where like Arnold is like trying to appeal to the better natures of these two guys by the end of this episode, as he is wont to do. And the episode does not like it. It demonstrates that there is a better angels of their nature that exists. It's just that they're never going to extend it to fourth graders. So there's this sort of like return to hierarchical norm at the end that I think is really funny, because it's just like, wow, Arnold, like you really did have it figured out except for this one thing, right? Which is that it's just never going to happen for you. This is Hey Arnold, not Hey Wolfgang. Maybe in the Hey Wolfgang episode, we'd get to see something like that. But alas, not for you, not this time, football head.
I was remembering back to the other football episode and thinking about it in that term or those terms. In season two, we had Mud Bowl. And I do think that's the only other football episode we've had, other than maybe there's been footballs in the show, but not like a full-on football game. And in that episode, Wolfgang like leads the team of fifth graders versus the fourth graders. So it's as if him and Ludwig have grown up insofar as they're now coaching, and they're in that mature adult type of role instead of playing like kids against kids in different grades.
I would like to say I thought that it was so like I know that we needed this for the episode to go on, but it felt so out of character for Wolfgang to be like, stop, why do we have to torture each other? Let's use the fourth graders. It was like, wait, what? You just spent the entire episode fighting with this guy for no reason. And then all of a sudden we get to that point and it's just like, well, we want to have a football competition between these fourth graders, so let's give Wolfgang that idea. I thought that was really funny and kind of ironic, not necessarily in a bad way, but just in kind of a weird way.
Yeah, I definitely get that from the perspective of like, we need this to keep the, like, in order for the episode to be an episode. It's called good maturing, which is kind of operates under the umbrella of good writing, which we know a lot from the show, especially when they call each other names like Fruit Cup and Cheese Breath, which I guess is my, if we're ready to get into shout outs, that is my only, big shout out for the episode, but it is a big shout out because, shows like this being inventive in the ways that they kids and other people call each other names and kind of cuss at each other is endlessly fascinating. I felt like I was watching Fantastic Mr. Fox and they were just saying the word cuss at each other. It was a lot of fun. I don't know. What do y'all think? Any other lingering threads, things we didn't get to, shout outs, for this episode? Yeah, go ahead, Fruit Cup. That's Harry.
Wow. Okay.
We're having fun.
Thanks a lot, Cheese Breath. You know what? Emily already got to it, but I got to shout out my boy Curly, using his ballet lessons to great effect and then stealing the ball away. Also, I did gasp aloud when somebody literally called him a little freak during this episode. Ludwig shoves him out of the way and says, ah, God, shut up, you little freak. You love to hear that, right? It was just like, there it is. I was pointing at the screen like, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, he specifically says weird little freak, which I liked too. I just wanted to call out that Joey is in this episode, and I was like, oh hey, there's that one character with the missing tooth. We see him a lot, but he never says anything. So then I looked it up, and he's appeared in so many episodes, and it says in all of them in parentheses, no lines, no lines, no lines, no lines, no lines. So I wish we got to know him, but shout out to Joey.
Yeah, I appreciate the research, Emily, on that. And also with the number of football episodes, understandably, it's misleading the, in our memories, the number of episodes that we assume have footballs in them because it stars a football head, can get hard to keep track. Not to cut this short, but I do have, actually, I do have oboe lessons, and I need to head over to those before we get into episode B. So I'm going to take care of that, become more musically cultured. Maybe I'll play something for you guys sometime. No promises, but you know, we'll see about that. In the meantime, listener, stick around. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. We've got episode 84B up next, and that episode is called Phoebe Breaks a Leg. Original air date, April 12th, 2000. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. When Phoebe breaks a leg after being hit by a bus, Helga believes it is her fault, so she starts being nice to Phoebe. When Phoebe's leg heals, she decides to stay disabled for a little longer. And once again, shouting out the folks who made this episode possible. Frank Weiss back in the director's chair, but the writing credit for this episode goes to Michelle Lamoureux. Maybe you've heard of her. She should get one, too. She's been on a lot of these episodes. You know who else has been on a lot of these episodes? Harry Mackin. So, Harry, let's hear what you think about episode B. What'd you think about Phoebe breaking her leg?
Hey, thanks. I think I've technically been on this episode one fewer times than you two, which is less than I would like to have been. I'm of two minds about this episode, and I think longtime listeners probably know exactly what I'm going to say, which is kind of my criticism of this episode in and of itself, right? I love a Phoebe episode. I think Phoebe does a great performance, or gives a great performance here. She's got such a great dynamic personality, especially when she's acting against how we usually see her. It's just the fact that, like, I literally thought we had covered this episode before. And I think the reason I think that is because it's a composite of a bunch of episodes we have covered before. Like the one where Arnold has to take care of Sid after, or Sid takes care of Arnold after Arnold saves his life. Or one of the episodes where, I mean, I think Helga Goes Blind is coming up, but like that was one too. But like, it's weirdly like, and Emily maybe knows, she has a better memory for what we have and haven't covered than I do. But like, it feels like this is an episode that we've seen like the exact plot play out before. Right. And like, it always defaults back to where it is. And we've talked about that before, right? Where it's like, it kind of stinks that like, they seem to think that in this one instance, or in this instance, like, returning to status quo with Phoebe and Helga is what we want, or like what we want to see. It's a fun episode to watch. I just, you know, like, I think that I knew exactly what it was going to be like. I knew all of the beats point for point. And I came away sort of like wishing that they had arrived at a different conclusion than the sort of like very classic Helga, like, promises Phoebe she's not going to boss her around anymore as she's bossing her around as they're leaving the hospital, right? Like, I think we've seen that exact ending before on the show, right? So like, especially because like, we get so precious few Phoebe Helga interactions, and it kind of feels like fewer and fewer as the series goes on, right? That like, I really wish we could have gotten an episode exploring some other dimension of their relationship, because like, I think that it is a three-dimensional relationship, and I think that other episodes have proven that, but I'm a little bit disappointed that we default back to like the sort of like a plot for Phoebe and Helga, right? Like if you ask me to like recall a Phoebe and Helga plot without remembering Phoebe broke her leg specifically, I think I would have recounted this exact plot line beat for beat, right? Where it's like, oh yeah, like Phoebe gets tired of Helga always ordering her around. So like then something happens and the power dynamic is reversed. And then Arnold points it out and like Phoebe gets, you know, guilty about it, right? Phoebe Cheats was just like that too. That's one. So yeah, I don't know. I think we said, Cody, we remembered this episode. I love that Phoebe literally makes hinges of her cast. That was so funny to me. But ultimately, I think that like I was a little bit frustrated with this episode just because like I kind of want more than that, you know?
Yeah, I do know. You know what? I do know. And you know what? I was going to save this for the chat, and so I didn't have to say it on mic. When Phoebe opened that cast, I just had to think, man, that thing's got to smell like absolute butt, right? It's like, why bother? The jig is up at that point. On that lovely note, so I have that texture fresh in y'all's minds. We'll pivot to Emily. Emily, what did you think about this episode B?
Yeah, thanks for asking, Cody. I actually really liked this episode, and I have a lot of notes on it, and I was thinking too about the other episodes, which are very similar, as Harry's pointing out, Phoebe Cheats and also Phoebe Skips, where we have a similar ending, where Helga and Phoebe make up at the end and go back to their status quo, which Harry was talking about. I wish this episode then in line with that was just called Phoebe Breaks, because then it would be a series, Phoebe Skips, Phoebe Cheats, and Phoebe Breaks, instead of Breaks Alike. But anywho, I think Michelle Lamro is crushing it at Helga-specific episodes and Phoebe-specific episodes, and episodes where the two together have their friendship on display. And I think... yeah, I think Helga and Phoebe have an unhealthy friendship. They have these clear inequalities where Helga treats Phoebe like dirt, essentially. And then Phoebe just always kind of puts up with it and or swallows down to whatever is hurting her on the inside about the friendship. And just, yeah, then they're always back to status quo at the end, which they are here. But I liked seeing Phoebe take some of the power back in their dynamic. In this episode in a way that I guess felt a little bit different to me than in those other episodes, and deserved. I mean, she, I think she really needs just a better friend than Helga can be to her. But the episode writes it like they're just going to go back to how things were, but maybe Phoebe eventually will see that she's better off having another friend or, leaning on Helga less or something, because they're kind of just the best friends in the show and we don't really see them in other friendships, you know what I mean? I thought some of the animation was great too. I loved the rain animation and the really sad jazz that was playing as Phoebe walked across or walked home, and her sequence of the Helga is like Queen of Hearts kind of a character, and Phoebe's got the shackles on and is asking her just for the one favor of the shackles to be removed, was a good dream sequence and good just like literal demonstration of their power dynamic. I felt that when Arnold appears and you know what's going to happen, my reaction to Arnold was like, oh great, okay, like Phoebe's finally...
Me too.
Maybe having some of the power struggle sort of be more balanced out, and yet Arnold pops in to be like, hey, how about you feel guilty about this actually and stop doing what you're doing and apologize to her, sort of a thing, but without seeing, like, I don't know, the bigger picture of it. And then, yeah, it was hard for them to go back to the status quo at the end. But I just liked seeing Phoebe have more power in this episode. And I thought that was in character too, based on what we'd seen from her other characters-focused episodes. But this is a bit out of character for Helga. So maybe we can talk about that a bit more. But yeah, Cody, what did you think about it?
Wow. Okay. Really good points from both of you. The stuff that I am excited to dig into. I definitely get the sort of sentiment that this is, I guess, like addressing Harry, the sort of retreading territory. And actually, we get that a lot from episode A as well. Because we have seen this episode before, the famed Phoebe trilogy. It seems this is the third installment. But the thing that stood out to me, and it sounds like stood out to Emily in some form as well, the fact that Helga kind of realizes her mistake sooner in the episode and then spends the rest of the episode like trying to make amends in her own goofy, like cartoon character kind of way. It is markedly different from, I think, the other like flavors of this episode that we've seen up to this point, but like agreed that it is, I think, structurally extremely similar. It's an episode that feels very familiar. And even if I didn't specifically remember seeing this episode, I'm sure like watching it, I'd have the feeling of like, well, I've seen this a couple times before, haven't I? So that, I think that definitely makes sense. The insertion of Arnold into the later, I guess like the third act of this episode was also something that more so rubbed me the wrong way. I wrote down in my notes, I was just like, since when does Phoebe defer to Arnold? Like that's such, even within this, this ecosystem of these child characters, like at worst, I feel like Phoebe and Arnold are on like even keel, like as far as like everybody else sort of deferring to their intelligence, their sense of judgment, their moral compasses. Phoebe, like feeling pressured by what Arnold thinks felt, I didn't enjoy that. That was, you know what, cool to see Arnold in an episode. Even the episodes that we've talked about in like our recent past of the show, where it's just like, oh, Arnold is maybe the weak link of this episode because we're shoehorning him in, trying to communicate some sort of moral message of morality, using him as a vessel to communicate that. Just like, I don't know, at the very worst, you know, Arnold's in an episode, it's not that way, not that bad. But this one did feel, at least he's not like finger waggy. He's sort of asking extremely leading questions, I guess, which in some cases is almost more annoying. But the Phoebe sort of looking over her shoulder and being like, Arnold is watching this. This is serving as a reminder to me to act differently in this situation, or to like, you know, I should communicate to Helga that the jig is up and confess to what I've been doing. That landed weirdly. And that's where I'm at with it. An episode I liked overall, but that was, I think, the most sour component, just through my processing of this one. I don't know. Harry, do you feel any feelings one way or another about that? Or is that just kind of whatever?
No, you guys have actually given me a lot of feelings. First of all, Emily was making such a good case for this episode that I was kind of turning around on it. And now I've been thinking a lot about Arnold's weird presence in this episode, where he has one interaction with Phoebe where he is very finger waggy. He like straight up tells her like, oh, treating Helga the way she treats you isn't the right way to handle this, Phoebe. That would make me think less of you or something. And then over the rest of the episode, he's like a phantom where he doesn't actually say anything to Phoebe. He's just like in the background and she sees him and he operates as like this like literal manifestation of her conscience, not unlike Emily Dickinson, the statue from Phoebe Cheats, right? Like we get another like externalization of Phoebe's conscience, but in this case, it's actually Arnold. I think that this episode would have been resolved better and without a return to status quo, without Arnold's interference. I kind of like this idea that, like, actually, Arnold, if you hadn't essentially pressured Phoebe into being the bigger person, quote-unquote, turning the other cheek, quote-unquote, and returning to the way that Helga had always treated her, maybe she and Helga could have actually had some kind of falling out that would have, like, created a better relationship dynamic, instead of Phoebe essentially just, like, completely swallowing her own passive aggressiveness again, as Emily notes, she's had to do multiple times, saving Helga and then returning to exactly the same dynamic that they always return to. I really like that, Emily, you pointed out the dream sequence. That feels really like marked to me. I think dream sequences are always really important in these series. And like, I did really like to see that like Phoebe is now at the end of the quote unquote Phoebe trilogy, as Jason called it, she is like much more aware of the fact that the dynamic is unhealthy than she used to be, right? I think she used to do a lot more equivocating, or a lot more sort of like, well, Helga has my best interests at heart, or like, this is just how we are, and like that's how friendships work or whatever. Whereas now she is like fully, oh, Helga couldn't do this thing for me. Helga's a bad friend. She just can't like pull the trigger to be like, oh, like that means that I should treat her differently, or that means that I shouldn't kowtow to her in the same way, right? And a big part of the reason she can't is because of Arnold, or at least what Arnold represents. So I think that that's a really interesting, you're really kind of turning me around on this episode a little bit, I think.
I'm glad to hear it. I think also just like with it being, I don't know, a cartoon show about kids, they are just each other's best friend. And so it always goes back to the start and where they're just friends again, they make up even despite all inequalities and everything that's happened. But I also think, it's, I guess, a realistic look at like abusive relationships. Not that that's what this is, because they're, again, fourth grade cartoon characters. But, you know, the abuser makes up and then goes back to normal at the start. But here it's maybe just the easier way for them to go about it, since Phoebe and Helga are such each other's main friend in the show. And what would it take to write them a whole nother friendship that's just as big of a deal to them or what have you. But yeah, Helga can talk the talk, but she can't walk the walk. It's also what I think about her.
Which is interesting, because I think that like in point of fact in this episode, like further corroborating evidence for your sort of like statements here, she doesn't even really talk the talk here. Like usually we get a big Helga speech, right? Before things inevitably return to normal, at least like we get that sort of like outpouring of Helga's heart. That's what we got in like Phoebe Skips and everything. Here she's just like, she has a particular line that really bothered me, where she's like, oh, but Phoebe, I thought you liked doing all those things for me. And I'm like, what? Like, Helga, didn't you just watch the last four seasons with us? Like, you know that that's not true. You know that your best friend is a person and not like your weird maid who actually just loves doing these things for you. Literally, when things return to normal for her, she doesn't even remember the last like problem that they had, which is like really abusive, right? This idea that like, oh, like I never did anything wrong. We just had a weird hiccup. And now I'm going to like return to things being normal again. It's just kind of dark. It's darker than I thought. Even what Phoebe does is like pretty terrible, right? Like pretending to have a broken leg after you don't, so that somebody will like cart you around and stuff. It's like, especially from somebody we know to be so sort of like deferent and upstanding, like Phoebe, right? It's like, it's clear that she has broken, right? Like Emily said, like this represents like a categorical like break from Phoebe, because she's finally had enough. And then like there's a backslide in this episode that becomes really tough to watch.
Yeah. I mean, they even have the scene where she's doing the maniacal evil laugh and the lightning striking through, the winter while she's next to her window. And yeah, I just like to how she decided to weld the cast though, like the genius levels it would take to be like, oh, let me find a door hinge or take apart a door, get the door hinge out, and that's how I'm going to put together a cast that I can easily open and close. So smart.
Also, she thinks of it so fast. like she goes to the doctor's office, and the doctor is like, oh, I actually think that you could take your cast off. It's a miraculous recovery. And she's like, oh, I have to, like, by the time she's arrived back home, she's like, oh, I know what I have to do. I have to put hinges on my cast.
She's like, her and Kevin McAllister, put them together, they could run the world with their intellect and their engineering capabilities. One thing I just kind of wanted to float out there, one of the nice things, the endeavors that Helga puts forth to make her friend feel comfortable during her period of injury is she reserves a seat on the bus towards the front, in which my initial reaction was not very favorable, but on one hand, it is, you know, Phoebe's got an injury, saving a seat by the front, pretty smart. That way she doesn't have to go through the entirety of the bus, to get to a seat. In reality though, the front of the bus is not really where I would gravitate. And I'm interested to hear what y'all think. When you go on public transit. Yeah, this is the question I'm choosing to open up to everybody. Like, where do you like sitting? Like, if you have, whether it's a public bus, a monorail at Disney World, a trolley car in San Francisco, all these places that all of us have been to many a time. For me, I don't know if I wouldn't go like to the absolute far back, like towards the back for sure. Just being up front, the pressure of being the first thing that strangers see when they get onto a public vehicle, it's too much for me. I couldn't stand it if I could help it. Obviously a crowded bus and that's the only option. That's a different story. That's where my mind went because I haven't been on a bus super often since, approximately March 2020 for a variety of reasons, some bigger than others. That's what's on my mind right now. What do y'all think about this? Please make this thread more entertaining and enjoyable than I'm making it.
Yeah, I'll give you like a classic sort of like wannabe punk goth answer. I've sat in the back of the bus since before I can remember. Yeah, exactly. One of my favorite Silver Jews songs, Dallas. He says, "Once you taste the geometry of a church in a cul-de-sac, you're going to want to sit with the bad kids in the back." And I have tasted the geometry of a church in a cul-de-sac. Grew up Catholic, so I do want to sit with the bad kids in the back. So
those lyrics broke my brain. Emily, save us, please.
I actually did take a bus recently, and I sat towards the front, but not like totally towards the front. So like one or two rows back from that area where the seats are facing each other. So
yeah,
but out facing forward, you know, so near-ish the front. But usually I'm somewhere around there, the middle. Kind of want to be near the driver, just in case anything crazy happens, I guess.
I suppose. Yeah, that makes sense.
Wait, but like, why would being near the driver prepare you for something crazy to happen? Like, what would the driver do to like,
have
help?
You seen the movie Speed? Somebody else may need to drive the bus.
Yeah, in case you need to take over the wheel.
Oh, exactly. I see. Okay. I was expecting something else. Like if like the driver would protect you, but it sounds like in fact you were protecting the driver, which I appreciate. Or at least the people on the rest of the bus.
Yeah, I guess the one other time I'm thinking of a bus ride was on the most crowded bus ever to the state fair. And I was in so far into the front, I was essentially in the window of the front of the bus. So, I don't know. Buses.
State fair buses are an absolute nightmare.
I was going to say, exactly. Like, this is real, like, Minnesota hours now. But, like, every single time. And I take the bus to the state fair every year, basically. And, like, there's always somebody who's like, actually, like, this is when I'm going to have the most dramatic confrontation of my lifetime. Or, like, this is when I'm going to have like a clear mental emotional break, there are 500 tourists on this one bus to the state fair. It's always a nightmare. I subject myself to it every year though, because I don't want to park at the state fair with my car, I guess.
You got to do what you got to do for cookies and deep fried lobster or whatever whatever else is sold there. But hey, with that, we've got many months. It's February right now. We don't have to worry about state fair busing for quite a while. We do need to worry about tying up any loose ends from this episode. Any other threads that y'all want to get to? Shout outs, any other public transit commentary, anything of the sort that might be good to have on mic forever. Now's the time.
I have another bus related shout out, which is at the very end, Harold is seen scowling on his way out of school. You know, presumably school just got out, and he's scowling. He's got a huge frown, and he's walking onto the bus. At the end, it just made me laugh. I love Harold. Also, shout out to Phoebe, where she's got headphones on in the cafeteria, and she's, for a moment in time, just like happily listening to music. I just love seeing any of those shots with the characters, and I know we saw Arnold doing the same in Mugged way back in season one, but just like seeing them bop around with their headphones on.
Shout outs to Phoebe itching away at that cast. I think one of the great sympathetic moments, right? Who doesn't need to itch a cast? There's a Cody, you brought this up earlier, but it reminded me of another cartoon. I can't remember what it is now, though, where they like cut off a dude's cast and like all kinds of stuff falls out. Oh, is that Community with Pierce?
It is Community.
I think, yeah. I was thinking of Community with Pierce, which is not a cartoon, but is kind of a cartoon.
But it's basically a cartoon. Yeah, the bottle episode where they're trying to find Annie's pen.
Annie's purple pen, yeah.
Yep, and they cut it off. And hey, spoilers, that cast smelled like butt. They all recoiled immediately, which is exactly what would happen if you were to cut open a friend's cast and there were like writing utensils inside of it.
Yeah. Which is so funny because like the moment she started itching the inside of her cast with the pencil, I was like, Phoebe, no, you're going to drop that into the cast. I forgot for a moment that the cast had hinges on it. That's how concerned I was that like I had bought into Phoebe's fantasy world that she had constructed wherein she still had a cast. Really diabolical stuff.
Funnily enough, Phoebe's fantasy world is a tried but failed alternative name for this podcast, which, hey, thank you very much for listening to it. This has been Stoop Kids, and I guess still is Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod, and that's kids with a Z. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I've been Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I've been Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
Thanks for listening, dude. Catch you later, Fruit Cup.